The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. Now, one of the reasons that I love Cool Stuff Inc. is because of their rewards program, which you become a member of just by making a purchase. After that, every purchase you make pushes you towards another level of the program, which means even more savings. Right now, I'm on level 6, which means I save 8% on all of my magic singles and 2% on booster boxes and board games. So head on over to CoolStuffInc.com and start saving money today.
Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 22 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And we were busy little beavers this past weekend. I believe we were all playing at major events. So we have a lot to talk about this week, so let's do it to it. Woman of Excellence, Katie, you nominated this fine young lady. We know her as Crystal Rose, or @MoxCrystal on Twitter, and you got the opportunity to finally meet her at GP San Diego.
I did.
Why don't you tell everybody why she's so excellent?
So she's been a follower, I think, for a while now, and I was very excited to meet her. She's been spending a year in Sweden, and she was nannying, and she had judged some events over there. And this was on her way home from Sweden, so she was battling jet lag. She's a level one judge, and we got to work together over the weekend. And every time I saw her, she had like a big old smile on her face. She was enthusiastic. She was ready, and she's very awesome to work with. Like, I feel like sometimes when I'm judging events by the end of the weekend, I'm kind of like exhausted, feeling fatigued, not quite having as much fun as when I first started. But every time I saw her, she was just like, hey, how's it going? And she was just so chipper, and she did a really great job. I think she's testing for L2 at the beginning of September. And one of my close friends was shadowing her, watching her do judge rulings, and he said that she was just doing fantastic. So I just wanted to give her a shout out and tell her to keep up the great work.
Absolutely. You know, I like seeing judges do the, I know one thing I always see you guys doing is the high fives.
Yes, the high fives.
I like the little tricks that you have to keep the morale up, because, you know, you are on your feet for, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day, sometimes more even.
Yes. Yeah, they can be long.
Yeah, and, you know, you're dealing with people who may not be the greatest towards you, and, you know, I always make it a habit to thank the judges that answer my calls and things like that, and I appreciate that. So I'm with you. Keep up the good work, Crystal. Yeah. Speaking of San Diego, like I said, you were there, and Hallie was there as well. Why don't you two start off by telling us about your experiences before we talk about the decks and things like that?
Sure. So I played in the main event. I played green-white. The deck that sort of took off this weekend. Kibler played it in the Pro Tour. Several pros, including Shahar Shenhar, Jacob Wilson, and Tom Martell, all brought it to San Diego as well. But it seems they all had a bit more practice with the deck than I did. I didn't do so hot on the first day, but I am glad that at least I'm aware of the metagame and made a pretty decent choice in terms of deck. The big thing for me was actually that I helped a friend of mine through her first GP this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, my friend Ashley, who started playing Magic a year ago, came to me 2 months ago, I think, and said that she wanted to play in her first GP. She wanted to go to San Diego with me, and she wanted me to help her do well in the event. So I worked with her for 2 months. I had her brainstorm cards and cards she wanted to play, styles of deck that she wanted to try, and I helped her build Mardu Dragons. She practiced with it for about 6 weeks. She took it to the event, and her goal was to feel confident and win 2 rounds, and I would say she definitely did all of that.
Nice. How did she finish?
Let's see. I think she dropped after she won her second round on day one. But she had a lot of fun. Her morale was up throughout the day. She was having a great time. She was a little overwhelmed because she's never played in a 1,500 person tournament before. But she had great experiences. She said all her opponents were really pleasant. She had dinner with Katie and me the previous night and had a lot of fun, you know, hanging out with the judges. So yeah, it was a great first GP for her, and I'm really glad that I was able to help her through that experience.
Did you play on Sunday?
I played in the Super Series on Sunday, yeah. I didn't make day two, so I played in the Super Series. My pool was pretty terrible. I made the best of it, though. I built a red-white aggressive deck, and I was 3-1 after four rounds, and then I just kind of, you know, started playing against really good decks and fell off the wagon. But it was fun. I got to chat with Kenji, who was also 3-1 after four rounds. And we were talking to Stibbs, and Stibbs was just kind of like pointing to the two of us, like, don't play each other, don't play each other. but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Got to meet a lot of people. Like I said, got to see Stibbs, who I don't get to see often enough. We were both pleasantly surprised to see each other there, because I don't think either of us thought the other would be there. So that was cool. Got to see Marshall. Got to meet Lems, Jason LeMahieu, the level 5 judge. Yeah, he's awesome. He's been a supporter of my stream, so I went up to him at a point when he had some downtime and just said, like, hey, just wanted to introduce myself. Thanks for watching my stream and everything. we ended up having dinner with him that night, and he's a really cool dude. So it was cool to meet him.
Now, I talked to you a little bit Saturday night to see how your day was going, and you had indicated that Standard had changed more than you expected it to. So are you still as interested in playing the format, or do you maybe want to focus on Modern or something else?
I probably want to focus on Modern for now, just because there aren't really any Standard events that are coming up on the horizon for me. Like I said, the Pro Tour really changed the meta quite a bit. The meta wasn't very aggressive, and now it is, and a lot of the changes we've seen have been a reaction to mono red and blue red artifacts coming to the forefront. And at this point, I'm in a place where I'm kind of looking to sell off my Standard staples and focus on, Battle for Zendikar and what's coming in the future. PAX is only a couple weeks away. I want to start brewing with the new cards. So I'll probably be focusing on Eternal formats, maybe learning Legacy in time for GP, CTAC, and maybe shelving Standard for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that, because part of the reason that, you know, I enjoyed Game Day so much, which we'll certainly get to mm-hmm. later, is because of the aggressive decks. Like, I'm not just saying this because she's my friend, but Chris's deck was the only deck I was worried mm-hmm. about playing. Everybody else, you know, they were playing these aggro decks, and I felt very prepared for that, so I was happy to see nothing but aggro decks all day. Katie, what was it like on your side, you know, judging the event?
So, Friday, I packed 1,500 goodie bags.
Whoa.
For like 9 hours straight.
What was in the goodie bag?
So there was a double-sided playmat, a pen, a pad of paper, a pack of 80 Narset sleeves, and the token pack with a Gristlebrand in it.
Okay.
Yes. So I did that all of Friday, which was so monotonous that it was not very fun, but I did get to conserve my feet strength, and we got to sit down while we were packing, so that wasn't so bad. And then on day one of the main event, I was doing coverage and floor coverage. So I was on coverage round one and round four, and there was a lot of red decks. There's nothing too eventful. There was a lot of calls on Dromoka's Command.
And in Soul Artifact, yeah?
Yes.
How does that go down?
So what the question that kept coming up was, is if I have a creature, if I have like a Ghostfire Blade or something that has an Ensoul on it, and my opponent casts Dromoka's Command choosing to make me sacrifice an enchantment, and put a +1/+1 counter on a target creature, like if that's the only legal option and they have to choose another mode, the way it happens is that the target has to be legal right up until the spell starts to resolve. And so once it starts to resolve, you sacrifice your enchantment, but then it still is counting that spell, that target as legal. So the Ghostfire Blade will get a 1/1 counter even though it's no longer a creature. And then the spell will resolve the rest of the way. So it's just an artifact that has a counter on it, which is a little counterintuitive.
See what you did there.
And then Saturday night, I went out with Patrick Sullivan and Kate, his girlfriend, who's very lovely, and Brian Kibler and Natalie, and we went and got sushi. Talked about how the day went and lots of magic things in general. And then Sunday, I was on scheduled side events. So Crystal and I were judging right next to each other. She was doing a chaos draft. And they put me on this modern tournament that had almost 90 players all by myself, and they didn't realize it till like round three or four. And I was like, I got this, guys. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And then after that got over, I did the last few rounds of the Super Sunday series. And then I talked with Marshall, with Hallie, and I introduced myself to Stibbs. I've never met him before, so got to meet him. And then we went out with, like Hallie said, Lems and some other judges. And then we went and we drafted, and we got to draft with Sam Black and Justin Cohen.
Ooh. It's pretty awesome.
Yes. And then I got crushed by Sam Black. My deck was so bad. And we played like six games. And in one game, he'd played four Reeve Souls before, like, turn six. And I was like, yep, that's a good card.
Katie, how many water coursers did you draft?
I drafted five water coursers. And one of them was foil. And then he killed every single water courser I played.
Oh, man.
But yeah. it was a really good time.
It was pretty funny. We were just coming down... We were just coming out of an elevator with a total of six people and a box to draft with. And we're like, I wonder where we're going to find two more people. And Sam Black and Justin Cohen show up and we're like, hey guys, do you want to draft with us? And they're like, of course. So we just like got a table in the hotel lobby and drafted with them. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. And then you had left, Hallie, we finished that draft and we finished playing and they were like, can we go draft again? And we were like, okay. So we walked up and they had finally ran out of product. So we didn't draft again, but we had 12 packs. Mm-hmm. So we did a four player draft and then played two headed giant with the two teams. So oh, Sam Black stuck around for that. Justin had to leave. And then it was me and two of the other guys who were there. So
cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Katie, is there were some complaints about the event from a TO standpoint. Like there were people who said that, I guess from what I understand, that a whole bunch of people had registered at the last minute, like almost double what they expected. Mm-hmm. And there was talk of the fact that a lot of the side events didn't run at all or were seriously delayed. And there were some issues with people getting refunds on their Infinity bracelets because they felt like they weren't getting the value from that. Mm-hmm. And that those refunds were given, you know, no questions asked. You know, what was your take on that? Like, did you see that going on? Is that anything you can talk about?
Well, when we started to pack the bags at the beginning of the day, they were like, well, let's make 1,300 goodie bags. And then, like, an hour in, which we really hadn't gotten that far, they were like, oh, well, it looks like we're already at, like, 1,350, so let's just go ahead and make the whole 1,500. And we were like, okay. That's cool. And then day one, I think final registration number was like 1,493 or something.
That sounds correct, yeah.
So like right up at the cap. And so on Friday, I think that's when most people purchase their Infinity bracelets. I was behind the curtain up on Mars doing my own thing. So I didn't actually hear about any issues. I did notice on Sunday when we were doing events, it seemed like they were firing a little slowly, but I think it was because, so we always have last minute registers and then we have to put those in the computer and, you know, God bless those scorekeepers. They just multitask out their booty. Like the girl that I had, her name's Brittany and she's great. And she entered like 40 names in like 5 minutes and was like, here's your event. And I was like, okay. And then I just left. But she was running like 7 or 8, like 80-person tournaments and doing the results and doing the match slips and doing the pairings. And I was like, I don't want to make you mad. You seem like you're stressed out. But I felt like it was running maybe just a little bit behind on Sunday, but I didn't hear about anything from Friday that was problematic.
Yeah, I heard about this on Saturday. I was seeing the tweets come in after game day, and then somebody had posted a thread on Reddit and basically said that they had a very lousy time at the GP, and then others chimed in as well and shared their experiences. And then Tim Shields, who's the man behind Cascade, hopped on Reddit and gave his explanation and talked about the pre-reg issues and the boost in attendance. And I thought he handled it very well. Like, I didn't fault him, you know, too much for all of that. Like, it sounds like just the basic growing pains that comes with events.
Yeah. Tim Shields is a really good guy. He's great at handling problems.
Yeah. And better eyes. Yeah, and yeah. for some perspective, I played in the last GP San Diego, which was in March of 2013, and there were about twice as many people playing in this one. So that's a lot of growth in 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we also noticed that Hallie and I agreed that we thought that there was a pretty high percentage of females there. Mm-hmm. Like, I was walking around, and it was like being back at GP Vegas. Like, there was a lot of women there, and I tried to stop and like say hi to some people, and I sat next to one woman who was like, "Oh, you judge, that's so cool," and she was like interested in what was going on, and that was just really cool to see. We thought maybe it went from like 2.5% to like 5%.
Yeah, it was something like that. I walked around during the first round because I had a bye, and I looked, and at almost all of the, you know, 24 person table, there was at least one woman. Some tables had two women. So that's something in the neighborhood of 5%. And that may have changed as the event started, you know, as people with buys started coming in. I'm not sure what the actual percentage is, but if we went from 2% to 5%, that's pretty big.
That's a win. Yeah.
Did you two meet any listeners?
We did. We met someone who had us sign cards for his wife, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, how did that go?
It went pretty well. He found us because we were both standing together, and I try to wear bright colors at GPs so that people can find me. So I was in a bright yellow cardigan, and I sent him a tweet saying, "Look for someone in a bright yellow sweater." And sure enough, he found us, and he had us sign some Stampeding Rhinos.
I got a Rock Smaller.
Yeah, you got the Rock Smaller. I got the Stampeding Rhino, and we signed them, and it was pretty awesome.
That's fantastic.
I also signed somebody's Zendikar Island for them. They were like, "Whoa. You're a blue mage, I'm a blue mage." Yes. Blue mage for life.
Aww. So. That's awesome. Have you guys been practicing your signature?
I need to practice mine, I guess.
I like my signature. I don't know. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I hope nobody ever, like, steals my checkbook or something. I don't know. Maybe I should think of, like, a new signature for when I'm signing things.
No, I was watching Katie sign the card, and I was just like, wow, her signature is so much better than mine. It's just so easy. I should change mine now.
The only discernible letters in mine are like K, N, L, and everything else is just like a dash thing. So it's really fast and easy.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it is with celebrities, though. You know, you really don't get to, you know, when Robert Downey Jr. signs something, he's not spelling out every letter. It's just like RDJ or like maybe a line or something. So you're on the right track.
I'm such a celebrity.
You are, KDG. Hanging out with Patrick Sullivan and Sam Black. I'm surprised you made time for us tonight.
I know.
Like, sorry, you guys. Justin Cohen wants to play LOL. You understand. Sorry, Kim.
And they were both really nice. I was like, I'm sorry if I'm messing up your draft because my deck is really bad. But and they were like, no, it's cool. It's cool.
The disclaimer. I love it. In terms of the event itself, top eight, well, there was a lot of variety in the top eight. We had a junk constellation list, which I, of course, love. Abzan Control, Esper Dragons, Green-White Megamorph, Jeskai, which I'm happy to see again, Black-Red Dragons, and Blue-Red Tutelage, which Chris played at game day. It won the whole damn thing. If I understand the story correctly, that wasn't Michael Major's choice. Like, he wanted to play Abzan that day. Couldn't get the cards for it, was able to piece together this. He was 9-0 going into day two, and then just won the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you play this at all against this, Hallie?
I didn't. It was funny because I played green-white because I thought that was under the radar, but I think Cuneo and Major is just next-leveled all of us.
And there was only one Thopter's deck in the top 32. I didn't face it at all during game day. I know a couple people were playing it. Were you surprised that it didn't make more of a showing?
I guess I was. It was such a force coming out of the Pro Tour that I thought it would be more popular, but I remember looking around at one point because Channel Fireball was one of the teams that was playing it in the Pro Tour, and I saw all the Fireball guys were just on different decks for whatever reason at this Pro Tour. Like, Raptor was playing Jeskai, I think. Ochoa was playing Green-Red, I think. Everyone was on something different. I think Ifra was on Abzan. Elantris played Thopters, though, and she went 8-1 day one, which was pretty awesome.
With no buys.
Yeah, with no buys.
And I believe that no buys. So she worked through each one of those rounds, and I believe she said that was her first constructed GP.
Yep. Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
She tore shit up.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
I was very happy for her, and I think she had a feature match, and she was a little hard on herself, and she was like, oh God, you know, I hope I didn't ruin it. And it's like, honey, like 8-1, like, you better work. I was very proud of her.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah, I think she made top 100, so she did cash.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her. And let's move on to game day. So Chris, you played the blue-red tutelage deck, and like I said, you were the only deck that I was really scared of at the event. What was your experience with it? Did you like the deck?
Oh yeah, like, I think it's totally awesome. I'm going to add some other things to it. I think maybe take some things out. As it is, it's just fine, but just to kind of tweak it, give it my own little flavor, I guess. I got to use Tormenting Voice, which I always thought was a really dope card. I just didn't know where it had a home, if any home. And I thought about a couple months ago when I was trying to build just this mono red deck with it, and I was like, well, I feel like I need something else. So when I saw this list, I was like, yes, this is the shit. So, game day, the first round I got the bye, so wah-wah, I got free win, I guess. And then the second round, I played the blue-red and soul artifact deck, and I knew that was going to be difficult because it just comes swinging out. But the first game, he beat me, and after sideboarding, I won the second game, so I lost out of three. But it was, once I had counter magic, it wasn't as bad, because I think, let's see, the regular decklist doesn't have any counter spells in it, but once I get negate and other things, I'm able to counter stuff. The only kind of poopsie part versus the artifact deck is that a lot of the cards I had weren't going to work against his artifact creatures, which was kind of unfortunate, but it was just so fun to play. Like, I didn't even really care if I lost. I just wanted to play the deck because, you know, you're like, draw two cards, discarding this, you know. And it was just fun to draw cards, make people mill. And they weren't, like, really sure what you were doing at first for some people that weren't as familiar with the deck. So they were like, uh-huh, okay. And this kid even the night before at F&M was like, does your deck have any creatures? Nope. Nope. Not a single one. Yay.
I don't need those.
Like, what is that? Creatures. And then when I played Erin, she gave me like a run for my money because she just is just able to get stuff out real quick. The constellation triggers, drawing cards, gaining life. It was just very overwhelming. Plus, her Banishing Light is automatically going to just fuck up my Sphinx's Tutelage business, because it's like, nope. And I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, well, I have to try to negate her Banishing Lights or get rid of them. But there isn't really a lot of enchantment destruction cards, I don't think, in the sideboard or anything that I recall. So that would probably be something that, if I was going to continue to face like Constellation or other things that have stuff that gets rid of my enchantment, I'd probably want to sideboard differently. Then I played Mono Black Warriors. That was rough for him, I'll just say. it was way too much, because once he figured out what was going on, he was like, oh, that's bad. But then at the same time, he's laughing. He's like, this is so cool. I'm like, okay. And he was friends with the kid I had played the night before. So he's like, oh yeah, you said you emailed him the deck list. I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, check it out. It's a sweet deck. Like, it's just fun to play and just be like, lol, lol, lol. And I hate mill, but this was like fun mill that didn't make me feel sad afterwards for my opponent or for myself, because everyone seemed like they had a good time. So I ended up going 2-2. Really can't complain about that. It was fun. I'm glad I decided to do it. Like I said, I think the deck's really sweet. I have a Jace. If I wanted to Jace it up with the deck, I probably could get the other three Jaces. And I would just like to say to all those naysayers that said this Jace was going to suck, eat your words, because he doesn't. And yeah, it was good. I got my Oil Languish, and we got, you know, the promo cards, and that was really cool, and it was just a lot of fun. I had a really good time.
Yeah, Michael actually ran 3 Annul in his sideboard, which was a nice counterspell against enchantments. So that's something you may want to try.
Yeah.
And I also have a Jace if you want to borrow it, if you do want to Jace it up, because Lord knows I'm not going to use a Jace.
Jace.
You said you liked blue cards last time. You might.
I also said I didn't enjoy Standard last time, and look where we are.
Everything's changing.
Everything's changed when you're a game day champion.
Go ahead.
Shang, shang, shang. We can do that. We can do the girl group thing. We'll get like the wigs with the curls and like the. We got this. So I did go to game day. I wasn't going to go. But then I realized that rotation's about to come, and I love Constellations so much. And I realized that I'm not going to have a lot of chances to play Constellations. So I might as well get, you know, whatever opportunities I can. And I was like, well, it's an opportunity to see Chris, and it's also a great story for the show. So I was like, let's just go to game day, like YOLO. So I picked Kyle Bogomess's list. He did an article on Gathering Magic talking about his experience at the Pro Tour, and then he had a list that he would play going forward, and that was the list that I sleeved up. No expectations. I had no practice with the deck, although I have played Constellation in the past. I've never played it with white before. And my first round was green-white aggro, and any aggro strategies in general I felt really, really good against. The deck runs 4 main deck Silk Wrap, 4 Banishing Light, with 4 Suppression Field in the sideboard. So I beat green-white aggro, and then the second round I played mono-black aggro, which was Chris's opponent. And then I faced my friend Chris. And your deck was, I was scared of your deck, because when I didn't have a Banishing Light, shit got real. Like, there was a point where, like, you resolved Treasure Cruise and you had 2 Tutelage.
Oh, God.
So we were literally like, okay, first card, mill, mill. Crap. Mill, mill. Okay, that's done. First card, second Tutelage, mill, mill. And then, like, that would be done, and I'd be like, whew. Oh shit. Second card, first Tutelage, mill, mill, and just having to do all that. Plus my own Constellation triggers, I have to draw those cards from Eidolon of Blossom, so she would mill me, and then I would draw, and it was like, shit, I can't play any enchantments because I can't afford to draw any more cards, and that was a tough match. The fourth round, so I was 3-0 going into the fourth round, we only had 12 players, so it was 4 round with no cuts, and whoever was at the top got the playmat. My fourth round opponent was playing Naya Company, and at one point, I had 7 of his creatures in exile effects. So I just had this row going down the left side of my playmat with like Silk Wrap, Banishing Light, Suppression Field, Silk Wrap, Suppression Light. And it got to the point where I was even exiling little creatures. So I would be like, Silk Wrap on your Elvish Mystic. Because that way, if he cast Dromoka's Command, I'd be like, okay, you can have your Mystic, and I'd let him have it. And Dromoka's Command I didn't really fear, because you're running with this critical mass of enchantments, so whatever. I beat him very easily, and before I knew it, I was 4-0. And I was like, Chris, I think I got the playmats. I've never got to play that before. So I was the only 4-0, and then they did the first place is Aaron Campbell, and I was like, and I kind of queened out for a little bit, and then Chris took the picture, and I got the playmat, and I got the Foil Languish, and I've never won a game day before, and then Twitter showed me a lot of love, and the deck is awesome. It is really the truth. I felt really, really good playing it. Starfield of Nyx is an amazing card. I'm still learning things about what it does. Like, I didn't know that it supersedes your creatures. So, like, if you have an Eidolon of Blossoms, your Eidolon is now a 4/4.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that. So, like, I remember actually swinging with it, just thinking it was a 2/2. Oh, no. Your Nyx Fleece Ram, that's a 2/2.
I didn't know.
I also didn't know that Sigil of the Empty Throne triggers on cast, so if they counter it, oh well, you still get an angel token.
Yeah.
So there was just so much. Hey now.
No, I'm just saying that, like, for a counterspell deck, like, it's like Genesis Hydra, like, they're going to get a creature, and you can counter their 4/4, but who cares at that point? They already got some, and then it just feels real bad. It's the worst.
So the deck's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing it. It's actually made me sort of interested in Standard again, so I'm going to play an F&M this weekend to try and win me a Serum Visions, like you suggested, Katie.
Yes.
And then there's a GPT for Madison, actually at the same store. Chris is playing in a Modern PPTQ on Saturday. Same store is having a Standard GPT. So I'm going to take Constellation there this weekend and see if I can keep this going.
Cool.
It feels really good.
Good luck. I hope you wreck it.
Thank you. I can't believe I'm having fun with Standard. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I don't even know who I am anymore. But I was actually really disappointed I didn't face the Thopters deck at all, because Kyle said it was a good matchup, and Chris's friend was playing Thopter. He's like, I'm not worried about your deck. I'm going to destroy your deck. And part of me wanted to be like, oh, yeah, fucker, let's do this. And I just didn't get a chance to give it a try.
That would have been awesome.
So, I know, right? From the Vault Angels, that is something some people are looking forward to. They finally released the cards that are going to be in the set. Some of them, we have two versions of Akroma, Aurelia the War Leader from Return to Ravnica Block, Avacyn Angel of Hope, Baneslayer Angel, Iona Shield of Maria with alternate art, Janara Asura of War, Sarah Angel, Tyriel Reckoner of Souls. There were a couple angels that I was surprised didn't make the cut. Were you all happy with the cards that made it?
I would have liked to have seen Restoration Angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Like, that card is played in Modern and whatnot, and it's just all around a sweet card. I'm excited to see Lightning Angel. Like, I've thought about playing that. Not in my four color, because triple color spells are a little difficult, but, you know, if Red, White, Blue were to ever make a comeback, I've debated playing Lightning Angel or Restoration Angel. I think Resto is just better, but yeah, I was sad to see Restoration Angel wasn't a part of the party.
Yeah, that was one of the cards I played when I first started playing Standard, so she has a special place in my heart.
Were you on like a Naya build with that, like back in the day when Birthing Pod was around and you could like blink your Hunt Masters and things?
I did that at a couple points, but my first like competitive Standard deck was Restoration Angel, Snapcaster Mage, and just a bunch of burn spells and counter spells, and it was awesome.
I was worried that you were going to say you were on Restoration Angel and Blade Splicer, one of those.
Oh, people. No, I wasn't playing Standard yet at that point. Okay.
That's a whole other level of dignity right there. Yeah, the cards that I was surprised by is I was expecting more of the names. So, like, I thought of Selenia Dark Angel, who is a major part of the Weatherlight series. And I also thought of Radiant Archangel, who I remember one of the first Magic books I ever picked up involved Radiant and Urza. And I'll never forget the part of the book where Radiant and Urza are fighting, and she rips his eyes out because they have stones. Like, I think it's the Meek Stone and the Might Stone. And then he, like, regenerates because he's Urza, and then he destroys her. And she's just one of the most noteworthy characters to me. And also, I was surprised, speaking of cards that see play, is Linvala. Mm-hmm. I thought Linvala, Keeper of Silence, would have seen some play, because it's beautiful art, and people always find a way to use her. So, Chris, were there any angels that you were expecting?
Not that I necessarily was expecting. I liked a lot of the art. Which of the cards did they have new art for? I think they said it was 5. The Iona art was different. I knew they had one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I know Avacyn's the same, Aurelia's the same, Baneslayer's the same, Entreat's the same. Iridescent Angel, I believe, got new art. So today they announced the members of the 2015 Magic Online Community Cup team, and this was a little surprising to some people because normally there's a voting process, there's a nomination process, and there's, you know, some time between when that happens, and then they wait a little while, and then they announce the team, and then they announce who they are, and then the formats, and this just sort of showed up. They were like, we're having the event, here's on the team, do with it what you will. And the people that made the team this year, we have Kenji Igashira, who's new Mathanami, who we love. Joel Larson needs no introduction. Our friends from Magic the Amateuring, Megan and Maria, they will both be on the Community Cup team this year.
Yay.
Gabe Reel, who's known as MTGO Doc on Twitter, successful streamer. Jimmy Wong, who is a YouTuber and Command player, is on the Command Zone podcast. Stibbs, our boss Adam Staborski, will be there this year.
Yes,
and yes. Anthony Diaconto, also known as Chris's baby daddy, Wedge, will be there. And there was a lot of controversy around this. What did you all think of the team?
Yeah, it was a great team. I just wish there had been a voting process. If this team is supposed to be representing the community, then the community should obviously have a say in who's on the team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There seemed to be a lot of people reaching out on social media about it today that seemed not even necessarily angry. I mean, some were, but some people just seemed hurt because it really made them feel like they were part of something. So I know I really wanted to see, you know, oh, who's going to get nominated? Oh, I can nominate someone. This is really cool. And so I was kind of sad to not be able to do that.
Yeah.
How has the voting process worked in the past? So I've never really been, like, involved in the Community Cup in any way. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you, since I was there last year. So typically what happens is they will put out an open call to the community, and they will say, you know, who are the people that you think represent the community well? Who are the people that you think represent Magic Online well? Because initially it was just for, like, streamers and people who played online a lot, and there's been sort of a subtle shift away from that in recent years. And it's open. You can name anybody you want. And some people campaign. I know Scotty Mack campaigned pretty hard last year. I campaigned a little bit. I ran on what I called the diversity vote. I was like, hey guys, are you tired of seeing another boring team of straight guys? Well, vote for me, you know, whatever. And then the people who get the most votes, they then make a ballot with those names. And then you get to choose from those names who you want to be on the team. Or Wizards gets to choose. I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember how that went down. But either way, the community did get a say in that process, and there wasn't any of that this year. The only quibble I had personally, and it's not that I don't like him, because Lord knows we love the Kenji, is when they announced the team, they said that they wanted to get some new and awesome blood in there, but Kenji's already been on the team before. He was on the 2013 Community Cup. So my feeling was that that spot could have gone to Gabby Sparts. That spot could have gone to the Professor. You know, that spot could have gone to anybody, you know, because Lord knows there are so many deserving people in this community, and, you know, it would have been nice for that spot to go to somebody who hasn't had a chance to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Kenji is definitely very deserving. He's a great streamer. Yeah. He gets more views on Twitch than just about anybody, and he puts on a great show. But if the goals are that they want to bring in more people, I guess they have to be consistent about those goals. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the conspiracy theories? You know, there was some talk that the reason why this was done was to prevent possible undesirables from getting in. Like, there were some people that were concerned that maybe some Zach Jesse supporters would, you know, troll them with votes for Zach Jesse, or people, like, you know, people would maybe going for, you know, other people that we're not sure are the best for the community, you know. And so to eliminate that, they just said, okay, we're going to choose who we pick this year. You know, do you think that was true, or that might be a possibility?
That didn't even occur to me, honestly.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It seems like they have the power. So you vote on people that go on the ballot, right?
Yeah.
It seems like they'd have the power that, like, if a bunch of people voted for Zach Jesse, they could just be like, nope, he's not going on the ballot, skip down to the next one. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess that doesn't really seem like a plausible thing to me, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, so I heard arguments for both sides of people saying, we want to recognize, like, lesser known people. And I heard it from people who were saying that they didn't want Wizards to do it, and I heard it from people who were saying they did want Wizards to do it. So some of them were like, well, Wizards can recognize, you know, lesser known people who might not be as big in the community. And some people were like, I want to recognize lesser known people that Wizards might not know exists. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting to hear the same argument both ways.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe if they turned it into, like, an every other year thing, where, like, 1 year Wizards picks and 1 year the community picks or something, that might be, like, a nice middle ground. I don't know.
Yeah, it was difficult for me to watch these discussions happen because I was on the team last year, and it was such a memorable event. And I know I've talked about how important it was for me to go and the friendships that I made from it. And it's something I really think everybody should get to experience if they can. So, you know, to see it mired down in controversy and negativity really kind of broke my heart a little bit. Like, I couldn't even stay in my homepage because it was just nothing but, you know, conflict and argument and debate. And that's just not how I choose to remember that event. Like, I hold it in a very high regard. You know, I agree that the voting, that's a valid criticism. I think the thing about Kenji, that's valid criticism as well. I think the thing that made me kind of bristle a little bit was people who, they had this attitude of, well, Wizards chooses anyways, and that the nominations don't even matter, because, you know, I still get people who come up to me at events and say, I voted for you, I was so happy to see you, and to imply that Wizards just puts faces on a dartboard and that's how they choose the people, you know, really kind of put me on the defensive to say that our work doesn't matter, or that our listeners or our followers don't matter, and that, you know, and none of you said that or anything like that, but, you know, there were some people that were like, well, what does it matter anyways? You know, they're going to pick who they want. You know, the voting was always a lie. And it was like, that kind of bothered me a little bit, where it was like, no. You know, there was definitely, people were, you know, they were definitely listening to the voices and the votes and things like that, and for people to discount that was wild to me. So, but I was very happy to see, you know, everybody on the team. I'm a big fan of Wedge. I'm a big fan of the girls. Doc has always been lovely to me, and I just hope they take it home for another year. Our listener question this week, be sure and send your questions to thegirlfrombracket@gmail.com. I believe we are out of questions after this, so fill up the box. We are happy to answer just about anything you send our way. And this is another email from overseas in Germany. Getting that overseas international love. And it says, hi, girls. I've played Magic for about 15 years now, with short breaks here and there. After my wife and I moved, due to a change in studying that I made, I lost my playgroup. In the new city, we have a nice store with a clean, girl-friendly bathroom. Always nice to hear. But a very small player base. Most people here just play FNM, which is only standard, and once a month modern, which I really enjoy. I've tried to form a playgroup and invite people, but with no success. Recently, I learned that a friend of my wife and I plays Magic, and we got some nice games going. Our ladies also know how to play, but don't enjoy the game very much. We would love to play more with them, but the main argument they have is that Magic is nerdy and complicated, and they don't want to play against someone, but rather play with them. Sometimes they even say that playing cards is just for younger people. My wife is very ambitious when we play, but loses interest when she's not winning. She's a great player, really smart, and knows the rules well enough to play in a small tournament, but she doesn't want that. My friend's wife is more casual and also very smart. I know that the two of them would have great fun if they would just open themselves up to the idea of playing more. What can we do to get them interested? Should we build special decks for dueling, or should we play Cube, or Battle Box, or Commander for more variants and a different play style? Cheers, and keep up the good work, Sydney.
I thought about this a lot at work today, actually.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Because I was just, like, mulling over all these different things in my head. I'm like, really? They thought this, and maybe they could do that. And so what I kind of thought at the beginning was they just have a lot of stereotypes, I think, in their mind of what, you know, a Magic player is and what it means to be interested in board or card games or stuff like that. You know, sometimes when I talk to my parents, they'll be like, oh, Chris is playing her cards, that's cute, or something. Be like, uh-huh, I am. But, you know, a lot of people play games that are over, you know, 35. You know, probably the majority of Magic players are in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, even older than that. I don't think you can put a age limit on your enjoyment of something. You know, I think you can say whether or not you think is something is age appropriate for maybe like a child if it has like more adult themes or something. But I think it's wrong to tell an adult that something that they enjoy is childish, especially with a game like Magic. I know I often say it is a children's card game. Why are you getting so upset about it? But, you know, really, when you look at it, it is a game. It's for fun. You know, you can learn things from it. You know, you make friends. It's so much more than just a stereotype, so much more than just a game. And maybe they just don't understand that because they haven't been perhaps in an environment with role-playing games, card games, board games, they don't really get it. But obviously there's something about it that does interest and intrigue them. And I think they just have to open up their minds a little bit to really fully enjoy and immerse themselves in something that they do enjoy. I think sometimes, especially, you know, for women, we're told, you know, like this, don't do that. Oh, you know, why would you be interested in this? And so there's the part of you that maybe wants to really do something, but then you have what your family, your friends, what society says that you should do. And so you keep listening to that voice instead of the one inside of you that's like, I could be really good at this. You know, I could really enjoy something. And you let those things hold you back, especially when he's saying that his wife is a decent player and maybe she doesn't want to play in big events, but maybe she does. And she's just afraid of being good at something. She's afraid of taking a chance. So I think that, you know, if he does continue to motivate her, you know, in the right way to show her, you know, if you really like this, this is totally cool. Like, you could be really good at this game and we could help make each other better players. If she would prefer to do a lot more casual things, maybe building a cube together would be fun for them to do. Try to have commander nights where they just have people come over and they just play pre-con commander decks or make commander decks together. There's, I think, ways to enjoy Magic on a competitive and a casual level that can please, you know, both parties. And I also think she needed to learn perhaps how to lose with a little more grace, because obviously she really digs when she's winning. So there's something about it that does make her happy. But you can't win all the time. I mean, I've had to learn that myself. So I just think you have to embrace the things that you like that maybe some other people don't understand, or that maybe you thought you'd never like. And, you know, if you don't, you could miss out on something that could really change your life or your perspective.
Wow. That was awesome, Chris. I don't know how to follow that up.
Sorry. I was just like noodling on it like all afternoon.
Oh, no, that's fine. I co-sign all of what Chris said. I think we really do limit ourselves sometimes by putting ourselves in boxes and thinking, oh, I'm good at this, or, oh, I like this, and so this is the type of person I am. And if we just take time to sort of expand our horizons and expose ourselves to different things, try new things, I think it's great for, you know, building character. I would also say, I mean, the listener suggested in his email that they try other formats, and I think that's great too. If the ladies aren't into competitive Magic, or if they aren't into playing one-on-one, definitely listen to them when they say things like, we want to play with other players. You could try Commander. One thing you could try is, like, you know, the four of you could get together and play Two-Headed Giant with each other. You can build decks that complement each other and play in two teams of two, and maybe that would be a fun activity for the four of you to share together. And maybe one other thing could be that, you know, it's possible that the two women don't have other women in their community that they can play with, and that might make them feel more comfortable. So, I mean, this is something we keep coming back to, getting more women into playing, helping women find more women. And I guess it's tough. Like, if there are women at the game store, maybe trying to, you know, have them interact with them, see if they would want to play with other women in the community. I don't know. Those are just some of my suggestions. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think with me, it was like, you know, my advice would be to let your wife sort of stay casual. Like, if that's what she wants to do, you know, as you said, she's a very intelligent person. I would assume that she knows what she's interested in and knows what she wants. I would say to let her stay casual and have that be your casual outlet. You know, one of the things we talked about in the show in the past is having a casual outlet and how it can be sort of taxing to be on all the time if you are a competitive player. Sometimes it's nice to go to those pre-releases where the prize support isn't very swell, or there's not very much on the line, or you're only playing three rounds, or, you know, the atmosphere isn't as spiky as you would like. You know, sometimes it is nice to just pull up a dual deck and be like, all right, I'll be Kiora, you be Elsbeth. Let's do this. And, you know, not worry about EV and Planeswalker points and buys. And, you know, some people honestly don't even have that. You know, we spend a lot of our time talking about competitive events and assuming that everybody is about that life. But from what I understand, the majority of Magic players are kitchen table Magic players. They don't go to GPs. They don't go to Opens. So, you know, your wife and her friend are not that uncommon. And I think if that's what they want to do, you know, that's a good thing for you too. You know, I hear it from the flip side a lot of times. You know, I know a lot of couples that play hardcore together. You know, they play serious Magic together and they're not always the biggest fan of it. You know, like, you know, Morgan has said a couple times that, you know, she does sometimes feel like she has to live up to Adam because Adam's a grinder. He's been on the pro tour. And she's like, you know, at times she does feel this pressure to live up to that standard. And, you know, she went 6-1 in that PPTQ and like beat yourself up over it. We were like, girl, like you just 6-1, you came in top 4 at your PPTQ. But she's like, oh, I know. And Adam's going to think I didn't do very well. And it's like, you know, so it can be difficult having a partner on that level. So, you know, if he has somebody who's not, you know, I would enjoy that and appreciate that and not try to change that.
Yeah. And I would also add, like, you know, if you try a bunch of things and it seems like she's not enjoying it, maybe Magic just isn't for her. Like, maybe you guys don't have to have that hobby in common. Because, you know, if, and it's good to try these things, and if she is enjoying it, like, that's fine. But I feel like maybe if you're like, hey, come play with me, and she's like, ugh, I guess if I have to, then, you know, maybe that's not as fun for her. But another format that you could try is, if you cube with like 5 or 6 people, you can do, it's kind of like teams where you sit every other basically, and you kind of work with those people that are like one spot away from you until the people that are on the other team are out, and then you guys go against each other or something like that. But it's kind of like Two-Headed Giant, but with as many heads as you want. Mm-hmm. You don't take your turns together or anything, but it does provide a lot of like teamwork, and there's a lot of discussion. It can kind of just be a fun, silly format to try out as well. Mm-hmm. But I agreed with everything you guys said as well.
Some people are also what I call, you know, they like to take the word monogamous and emphasize the word game. You know, not everybody just plays Magic. You know, I know people who enjoy Magic, but it's not their primary game. You know, if it happens to be the game that somebody chooses for game night, they'll certainly play it. But outside of that, they're just not that into it. And, you know, that could be too. You know, maybe she likes Settlers of Catan, and maybe she likes, you know, Agricola or Agrocola, I think they call it. You know, and she likes Magic as well, and she's able to enjoy all of those things. And that's a possibility too. You know, she's not somebody who commits to just one game. You know, that's fine, and you know, we don't need to change that. So this weekend, I think we all have things going on. Katie, you said something about a triple header?
Yes.
What is that?
A long weekend. So to try and increase attendance at some of our pre-TQs, we have 3 game stores from all over the state coming together into one town, and they've rented out a hotel convention hall thing. And basically, they're trying to put on like a mini GP. So each one of them will have like a vendor station where they can sell stuff. We're doing Modern in the morning Sunday and Sealed in the afternoon, and then another Modern on, oh, those are on Saturday, and then another Modern on Sunday. I misspoke. And so I will be judging both of the tournaments on Saturday, and I get a play on Sunday. But I think it's a really good idea, and I hope that it pans out. They're splitting all costs, judge comp, the cost of the convention center, cost of product, everything, and they're splitting all profits that aren't their own, like, vending station, so all entry fees, basically, because Sealed is really not a big thing in Montana. Nobody seems to enjoy it that much, so they didn't want the person who's running Sealed to get shafted, and they also didn't want the person on Sunday to not get a great attendance if everybody decides that they're leaving on Saturday night. So there's a lot of cooperation going together, and so far everybody's playing nice and everything's going really well, so hopefully the weekend is a success.
And you'll get to play in these events.
I get to play Sunday.
Okay, and what are you going to play?
Well, I've been thinking about trying something new. I don't want to say quite what it is right now because there's a few people in Montana that listen and I can't get next leveled.
It's okay. I know what it is, but I won't tell them.
Yeah. I'll reveal it on Sunday halfway through the tournament. But I haven't quite decided yet. I have a few options that I'm mulling over. Mulling.
Oh, anyway. You gave us a hint there.
Perhaps.
Oh, man. Dun, dun, perhaps. Dun.
Yeah, so that's what I've got going on.
Katie, the surprise attack, Neil.
Yeah. So when you posted about being, like, about game day, and you're like, you'll have to listen next week to find out, I thought you weren't going to tell anybody till, like, the show. And I was like, yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear what happened. And then you posted it, and I was like, well, that's cool. But,
I didn't.
And my suspense just, like, died.
I didn't plan on winning. Like, we took that selfie after round two, and we were just sort of putzing around. And again, I had no expectations going into this. I certainly didn't like standard. And I didn't think I'd win the next two, you know, because again, I saw some really good decks. And I had her one friend who was like, I play Thopter. I'm not worried about Cartolution. And I was worried about running in the Thopter guy. And I didn't know how, you know, Naya Company was going to go down, you know, because I don't know what a lot of these decks do. So I had no expectations. Like, I figured we were going to 2-2 drop and go get Chinese food. And then all of a sudden, I'm 3-0 and I'm 4-0. And it's like, I can't keep this quiet. And I think Chris even tweeted it before I did. She was like, Aaron's having a ball right now. And it just sort of happened.
Because she says to me, do you know in Pocahontas when she's standing on the cliff and how she looks and how she's feeling and she's doing the twirl thing? And so then she kind of does it for a second. So then I went and found the GIF online and I had to post it because I'm like, this is original Estrus right now.
I was like, this is how I feel right now. And she's like, done.
I know she was like jumping all over the place. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God. And like, I clapped like a weirdo. Like, Aaron Campbell. And I'm like, oh my God.
She clapped for me. Like, I was playing Little League and she was my mama. And she was sitting in the bleachers. She's like, that's my baby. And it was bad, but it was good.
That's so fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And so, Chris, you're playing in a modern PPTQ this weekend.
Yep.
Okay. We're actually playing at the same store. I don't know if you realize that.
I found that out this afternoon. I was like, oh, cool. I'm like, I didn't know that.
So when you win the PPTQ, I'll have my little styrofoam finger saying Chris is number one. And I'll be waving in the air like your mama.
Now, don't forget, you have to bring your champion playmat to let motherfuckers know what's up.
Well, it doesn't match my sleeves, though.
No, you have to be like, I'm sorry, you were talking to who? No, you see, I'm the game day champion. She was so funny with that. Afterwards, we called Nick to go get dinner, and she's like, she cuts me off. She's like, Nick, this is the game day champion speaking. I'm like, oh my God. It was just wonderful. But yeah, you have to let them know what to be prepared for.
You know, why stop there? You know, I think what we need to do is you need to like, so when I go to the game store on Saturday, you need to like throw the rose petals before my entrance. And like, you need to pave the way for me so that way I can walk in. And you know, that's what we need to do. Like if you were a...
Oh God.
I need to be like the hype guy that goes and whispers, oh my God, do you know who's here? Do you know who she is? Oh, is she? Oh my God. You are obviously not in the know.
You're obviously not.
Oh man. Yeah, I need to put that in my contract. Like if we get announced anywhere, like if, you know, God forbid we ever get to like, you know, if I do anything else important, be like, you know, game day champion, Aaron Campbell. Like, excuse me. You didn't say that with feeling. Have my lawyers call you. But Hallie, are you playing this weekend at all?
I don't know if I'm playing this weekend. I may have a cube draft at my house, but otherwise I don't have anything planned.
Aww.
Yeah, the pre-TQs in my area are done for now, and we're not going to have more of them until October, I think. It's weird. They kind of lump them all together in my region.
Maybe you should fire up the stream.
Yeah, I might do that. I'm planning on streaming most weekend mornings when I'm in town. So maybe I'll do that on Saturday or Sunday, or both.
Speaking of streaming, I see that you got your beastly computer, Katie.
I did. It needs a name. So one of our listeners was like, you should name it. So send your name suggestions at me, and we will get this beast named. Or might just say, like, beast.
What about Thragtusk? Thragtusk is a beast.
Thragtusk was the first deck I played with Resto and Deadeye Navigator.
And there you go. Wolfman.
Oh,
that's a contender.
Does your computer, like, I saw the tower and it has a light in it. Is it a green light?
It's blue.
It's got it.
And I think I can put more lights in it.
Well, it's got to be blue. Unless it's a green light, I think it needs to be a blue card then. Like, what's a blue beast?
Cryptic Commander.
You could call it CC.
Aww,
that's cute. Katie, I just gave your picture like my what face when you said that. Cryptic Command.
You can call it Cece. I had a friend who named his card Chi Chi after the character from Tu Wong Fu, and he would talk about it in like the third person, like, oh, Chi Chi's having a really good day today, and he would pet the car, and so Cece could be your computer. You'd be like, ooh, Cece's revving up to win a daily, and just give her a pat, and I'm it.
We'll keep our options.
She's like, you're insane.
Just looked at the picture. That is, wow. Yeah. That's a lot of machine.
It is the biggest tower I've ever had. It's like 40 pounds.
Wow.
It's like a
child.
Toddler. Yeah.
You'll have to get that thing, you know how they carry the kids in the front like kangaroos? You'll just be carrying your tower with her.
In a little Joey pouch.
Like a bottle in one hand.
Right.
This is for Cece.
See?
Oh, I thought you were saying you'd be like walking on like a wino or something. I was like, what?
That too. I do like my white sparkling wines. So.
Oh man.
There's two hands here.
Well, I've heard of computer towers that, you know, they have the water coolers and maybe yours can run on wine.
I could run.
That'd be awesome.
Katie.
No, I'm not an alcoholic, people. It's fine.
Katie the Lush Neal.
Don't mind Katie. She's just passed out on that stack of magic cards like she does. We just poke her every once in a while.
Like she do.
So if anybody's enjoyed listening to us on the show, how can they find you all and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/HalCanSan. You can send me an email at hcsmtg@gmail.com, and you can find my writing here on Gathering Magic.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at MeanMugger, that's MeanMugger, or sometime soon, hopefully, on Twitch, twitch.tv/MeanMuggerMTG, or by email, katie.neal14@gmail.com.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is tochris, that's THKRIZ. My Gmail is yotehkriz, that's Yo to Chris, and my Tumblr is also to Chris.
And I am Erin, Game Day Champion. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalEstrus, that's OriginalEstrus. You can email me at estrus@elitistjerks.com. The show is on Twitter at the GF Bracket, and you can also email us at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye!